Any gifts and comments? Is there anyone online? No? All right. Minutes for correction and approval?
I'm good.
All right. Cool. Let's just put that on the consent agenda then. New business, ADM 2026-01, the very first item this year. Budget reports for November and December of 2025.
Yeah, so sales tax numbers are continuing to trend positively. I forget which month it is exactly without looking at my analysis spreadsheet, but one of the months met our internal targets to meet the budget year, but when you looked at it compared to last year, it was actually like a reduction, so it was down percentage points from last year, which is the first time that's happened on a straight math basis in a few years, actually. So when we dove into those numbers, what we found was there were 2 months last year. One of them was, we think, artificially low, and one of them was artificially high. I want to say it was like September or October of 2024, if I remember correctly. But in that, we think that there was probably a larger business that probably double booked a month of revenue and submitted it to the state late, causing 1 month to be high and 1 month to be artificially low. So the trends are still there that were, you know, almost double digit, percentage increases in sales taxes some months, certainly way above the 2 or 3% that we've been budgeting each year. And then there's just that one anomaly with, the year over year. So everything else is generally in line with, what we're expecting. I'll take any questions if anybody has them.
Do we have any data, I guess, from Costco, or has that shown a bump or anything, or an impact of any?
Not yet. So we will get that in March, I believe. Correct, Rob?
Actually, we should get it in February, since it's in November.
Okay. That's so like 3 weeks from now,
yeah, right.
We should have some info where we'll be able to kind of talk through, expectations, rather. We can't get into specifics, but I can let you know that they're doing really well or other. So.
Right. All right. Well, just an informational item, so let's go ahead. ADM 2026-02, Treasurer's Report for November and December of 2025.
So for November 30th, 2025, beginning fund balance is $70,261,803. Year-to-date revenues of $38,474,435. Year-to-date expenses of $50,292,363. For a projected ending fund balance of $58,443,875. For the month ended December 31st, 2025, beginning fund balance is $70,261,803. Year-to-date revenues of $43,447,831. Year-to-date expenses of $68,858,871 for a projected ending fund balance of $44,850,763.
Any questions? We can move that on to the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
All right. ADM 2026-03, cash statements for September and October of 2025.
These are just informational, as always, with the city's cash balances on the first page and the investments, if any, on the second.
Any questions, guys?
Nope.
All right. Cool. Item number four, ADM 2026-04, review of invoices between $5,000 and $25,000 for November, December and January.
These have been previously presented to the council as a whole, so if there's any questions, be happy to answer.
You guys good?
Yeah.
All right. ADM 2026-05, website reports for November and December of 2025.
They are in the packet. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have no questions.
for.
Good, all right.
Or even not necessarily.
Item number six, ADM 2026-06, project cost summary report update for the Lake Michigan Water Sourcing Project. Public Works and Parks Department facility December 2025 and January 2026.
Yeah, there's two months of two reports in your packet for your use. I know this question was asked last month or the month prior. The numbers shown in the DWC cost estimates are still the higher estimates for the transmission mains. So, you know, after we had projected a 40% increase, and based on last few bid packages that have come in, we actually expect that increase to be reversed, at least based on, you know, a few bid packages. We don't think that DWC is going to revise their cost estimate downward until probably the end of March, which is when the last bid packages are going to be open. And right now, you know, we've had two successful bid packages get open that are significantly under budget, and so things are moving there. So one item of note, I know Rob talked about it on the WIFI ordinance, is our next installment is due to DWC at the end of February. We're not going to close on the WIFI loan until probably mid-February, and then proceeds aren't distributed for another, you know, 30 days or so after that. So that kind of puts us in end of March. So we're working with DWC to figure out whether we need to do some short-term borrowing, whether we can tap the line of credit that DuPage has offered us as part of the intergovernmental agreement, or whether they'd be willing to just take some risk or delay the timing of that invoice by a few weeks. So we've, you know, went fishing for that answer. We'll see how it goes here in the next few weeks. I mean, we'll have options. It's just a matter of whether we need to incur, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of interest with either DWC or a private line of credit, basically to float us for a month while we're waiting for some cash to come in from the WIFI loans. So that's DWC. Public Works, I just want to point out the little contingency category chart that we put in the bottom left of those pages. You know, at this point, we had no tariff impacts or $12,000 out of an estimated $750,000. We've only authorized, you know, $20,000+ worth of, you know, like opt-ins. One of which was, I don't think there was any windows in Eric's office, and there was windows in every other manager's office, so we opted that in. Doing some cold weather work, so they had to change some items on the concrete, and then they brought in some heaters and some temporary enclosures for some of the openings in the building so that they could do winter work. And, you know, the construction plans and everything Pete has said is pretty good. Wegman seems to think that Kluber's doing a good job, and Kluber thinks that Wegman's doing a good job. And so, you know, we're running it, you know, $200,000+ where we're getting into the, you know, mid to final stages of the project because we're indoors now, basically, and an estimated $2.5 million of contingency. So on top of that, we did have a couple $1 million worth of funds within the bond that we issued to, which we're using obviously for the road projects and other things, and the Water Commission project as it comes up. So the Public Works facility is, you know, moving along. They seem to think that it might be July or even August that they're in, when originally I think we were thinking September, October. So just been really pleased with how things have been communicated and controlled out there so far. So here's hoping that continues.
Good. You guys have any questions on this?
Go ahead. Have they put the fuel tanks in ground yet, or is that going to be something that has to wait till spring?
You said the fuel tanks?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'd have to ask. So.
All right.
You would.
And it's been a while since I've been out there, so I definitely need to get out there, otherwise I'd probably be able to answer that off the top of my head.
For the, to go back to the WIFI on the water, the installment that's for DWC that's due, is that a finite amount? Like, we have a concrete number?
We do. It's a little over $12 million right now.
Okay. And just a question on the contingency for Public Works. What happens with the remaining contingency that's not spent?
That's all ours.
So right. Does it go back? Is this in the general fund now, or does this go in
back into it? How does that work?
Well, it's in the building and grounds fund, but it would just be retained in fund balance.
Okay.
Yeah, and on top of that, and I don't know where they're sitting with like their, you know, general contractor and subcontractor budget amounts. Anything that's saved there also goes back to us. So we have not estimated that. I haven't seen a report from Kluber or Whiteman on that yet, other than, you know, they continue to tell me that things are really smooth out there. So,
and we should earn about $1 million in interest income based on the bond as well. So that's another good factor as well.
That's good.
Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Rob. All right. Brings us to our last item, ADM 2026-07, Health Insurance Broker, RFP, Results and Recommendation.
All right, Aaron has got a nice memo in the packet that our intern, John Berner, also assisted with some of the research, so I just wanted to make sure that that was acknowledged. In general, just as a recap, you know, we had a poor health insurance premium increase last year of about 14%. And so we committed to all of you that we would take a look at our broker situation, go out to broker, and then study some alternative ways to provide health insurance to employees at the hope of, you know, saving us some money. So we did go out to RFP for brokers. Last time we did this was 5-6 years ago, definitely before COVID. And we had 6 or 7 different brokers and, you know, really put in the time at that point. We had, I think, 1.5-hour interviews with each one of them and spent a couple months basically vetting those, and it landed with our, you know, current broker, Alliant, which is what we're recommending to continue forward with. So this time, for whatever reason, even though we did send it out to everybody that we could think of, we had 2 responses, one from our existing broker and one from the Hub Group. And I won't belabor the details in the memo, but we just didn't think the Hub Group was going to be a better fit for us, given the size of them, the services they provide, the fact that they charge for things that Alliant doesn't. And so we are recommending to go with Alliant, you know, as our health insurance broker going forward. And obviously, we can revisit that each year if we continue to have, you know, poor premiums. But I had asked Aaron to put in the memo, you know, our history with Alliant for, you know, health insurance premium increases. And, you know, really for the past, you know, 7 or 8 years, aside from last year at 14%, we've had pretty good renewals. So including a few years where we were in negatives by, you know, 6% a couple of years, and 1 year it was basically flat, which is not normal. So that's better than most other towns are seeing, as evidenced by the IPVC notes that we included in the memo. And that's a pooled risk health benefit organization. A whole bunch of towns, and basically they share risk on high dollar premiums, you know, so that the level of increases or decreases each year is kind of flattened out and everybody shares in, you know, whatever, you know, costs there are that are expensive. So, you know, their premium history is, you know, 5% on average over the past few years, and Alliance was better than that. So for now, we're kind of, I think, taking on some additional risk by not being part of a pool, but it's paying off so far. And the general concept, you know, that we've talked about internally, and a couple times maybe externally in public meetings over the past few years, is just, you know, when you enter a pool with a whole bunch of other organizations, your level of risk is dependent upon how, you know, old or, you know, what health impacts your employees have relative to others. So, you know, obviously, if you have a very risky employee group, you know, if you go it alone, you know, you can be hit with some pretty significant premiums or just claims, you know, on a year-to-year basis. And if you join a pool, then obviously, hopefully that, you know, smooths out over time. But alternatively, if you're young, like we have been historically as a community and as an organization for the past several years, you know, we have very little high dollar claims. You know, people are having babies, which, you know, can be expensive, but there aren't, you know, very many long term, you know, protracted health issues, which can really drive up your claim costs. So we've been fortunate in that we're on our own and kind of achieving, I think, better than normal premium increases each year as a result of not being in a pool that might be populated with, you know, older communities or older organizations, you know, going forward. So that's not to say that we're not going to continue to assess that. You know, probably there, if I had to guess, at some point in the future, could be 5 years, could be 10 years, might be 20 years, I don't know. I would assume that we would, you know, look to mitigate that risk and join a pool eventually. It's just, you know, we haven't seen the claim issues or the premium issues on our end yet in order to justify, you know, a safer option, basically. So that's one way we'll continue to kind of look at health insurance, you know, providers and programs and, you know, just seek to reduce costs, you know, overall. So, and then alternatively too, you know, assuming you guys adopt the recommendation to continue forward with Alliant, we would definitely ask them to take a look at some options with health insurance. And every year, you know, we look at different plans and, you know, can we reduce benefits or change benefits and save us some costs and, you know, hopefully not impact employees too much. But, you know, we also can look at things like self-insurance, you know, through them as opposed to being fully insured. So right now, like, every claim is paid by the insurance company, no matter the dollar amount. So they pay out their claims, you know, pay out our claims. And they take a look at that figure at the end of the year each year, and then they give us a premium that kind of matches what our claims are. You know, there are programs that we used to have, and this is even before Rob, you know, before years, where, you know, you can have health insurance for maybe some smaller claims, but then you're on the hook for the bigger claims. So, you know, for years that you don't have bigger claims, you can achieve some pretty substantial, you know, health insurance savings. But on the years where you have big claims, it's, you know, significant out-of-pocket costs. And I'm struggling with the numbers off the top of my head, you know, like 15, you know, 20 years ago. You know, there were years where we had 30, 40% increases year over year because we had, you know, poor claims that we were paying out on when we were, you know, covering some of those ourselves. So, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to assess that each year. So that's where we're at with health insurance. You know, we had a bad year last year, and we're recommending to continue forward, but I think that that's the right approach, at least for now, and we'll continue to look at our options. So the specific recommendation is to re-up with Alliant forward, and then they will go out and price our health insurance here in the next couple months.
Do you guys have any questions?
Do you have any bargaining things in this next year coming up that you have that this might factor in with?
We do. I don't know that this will factor into it per se, and I'll get into that here in a second, but the public works contract is up in May, so probably should have already met with them once, but we've got a pretty good relationship with them, and you know, we'll get that moving here. And then the officers and sergeants, I believe, are up the year after. So you may recall, you know, over the past few years, we have modified most of those contracts where we have, you know, basically unilateral authority to change health insurance plans. It's just the, you know, contributions that are locked into those agreements. So, you know, Mesero versus Hub Group or going to a pool or changing self-insurance, you know, probably isn't going to impact the union contracts directly as far as form of negotiation, but it will impact the employees. So if we change, you know, health insurance plans and the premiums go up or down, they're going to share that cost. If we change the benefits, obviously, associated with it, you know, they'll be impacted there. So that's always something that we're mindful of, you know, just in relationship to our overall compensation strategy.
Matt, do you have anything to add? You guys go put this on the regular agenda?
Sure.
Yep.
Right. Is there any old business? Is there any additional business?
I have one item and don't have a lot of direction yet. I guess I mentioned this to Bart. Maybe it, going forward, it could look at our sound system. Because, I literally zoomed in for the last plan for the zoning meeting.
Yep.
And I pretty much heard people that testified on that microphone, but I literally couldn't hear hardly any of the plan commission members talking. And one guy's got a loud voice, so he was easily, and this isn't, and it's not just there, I think we have it at the council level too. And Meryl told me to vote at the park board, what it was, and that's, I couldn't hear what that was, even how even that went down and who voted how, and I don't know, maybe it's something that we can kind of just keep our eyes out, see what options are out there, if there's anything better, or...
So, it seems like we're constantly leaning into the microphone, having to do that. Is there a potential option, a different microphone option that would be beneficial if we looked at? I see it not in Bart, so...
Yeah, I asked Jesus to take a look at, you know, different options. So, and that can be anything from calling the company out to, you know, just increase, you know, the input level of the mics, which then risks feedback, obviously. But then also just to price out, you know, different mics. So I don't know that there's better mics per se, like as far as audio quality or pickup, but the mic necks that we have right now are rigid. We used to have gooseneck mics that had two flux points at the old City Hall. And so, you know, theoretically you could sit back and just put the microphone closer to you and then arrange the gooseneck such that it'd be closer to your mouth, which I think is a fine solution. Those are a few $100 a piece, I want to say, but I'm having him, you know, quote that out, and then we can kind of review some different options to see if that's better, or maybe it's just paying an intern to sit at the meeting and yell at the PCC members when they don't talk into the mic. So.
Well, no, it's I don't think it's. I think it's even in our meetings sometimes it seems like, yeah, it's. I don't remember at the other City Hall us having that issue too much, so that's why.
Okay.
And these are all new, right? We didn't bring anything from there over here, so.
They are all new.
Okay. Just if you can, if you come across something.
Thank you. Yeah, John always says, you know, it's like eating an ice cream cone. You have to be kind of right there on your lips, kind of. I know when I zoom in, it's hard to hear you all talk, so.
Yeah. I can hear Rich fine, but to your point,
I can
especially some of the aldermen tend to lean back in their chair consistently, mm-hmm. just it's a comfortable position. That's when I tend to lose it the most. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, just a thought. Maybe if you see something. All right, so I'm gonna head.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Well, that's all we have here. We can adjourn.
Thanks. See you.